Welcome, Paseo. We are back for another episode of the Paseo Pathway Podcast. It's been a little while. We've been working through some personnel, some technical issues, but we're getting up to speed and it's good to be back with you. We're going to be talking about the practice of community. In past growth group rounds, we've done a podcast episode each week of the practice. We're not going to do that with this practice of community, but we did want to meet up and talk about it, both for this practice, for this growth group round, but also because of where we're going in 2026 with our church at Paseo. So, Shelton, it's good to be back in the studio.
I'm excited to be back. Shout out to Will behind the camera over there as Matt's sidelined right now. And so grateful to be together and thankful for technology to be able to record these conversations and talk about something that's essential to the Christian walk. And it's interesting to think about community as a spiritual practice. And I think that's a neat way to start our conversation today, because what we're talking about is the intentional effort to put yourself in biblical community and grow in biblical community, just like the same amount of effort it takes to fast, or the effort it takes to study scripture, or the effort it takes to pray, the other spiritual practices we have practiced or walked through. We're talking about now about biblical community. So what are some differences that you would highlight between biblical community, the type of spiritual community that we're talking about in this practice, versus say like I can have a community around a hobby, you know, at the gym that I work out at. We all get together and we're buddies or something like that. Or you could think of military guys and gals saying, I have community at work. One lady in our growth group was talking about how she was a nurse and she had community and she's retired and she's missed that community she's had at the hospital. But it's interesting to shape and correct all of that. And I'm saying I'm thankful for all of that community. We were made for community. It's no surprise that wherever humans exist, you will find levels of community. But the church is something different. So what would you say would be a difference in the spiritual community that we're talking about?
I think it's similar to when we did the practice of scripture, where we're reading a book.
Yeah.
But of course, we're doing much more than just reading a book. There's a spiritual depth to this practice of scripture. I think in a similar way, this is true of community. And so I was part of a great running group here in San Diego. Mm. I'm not running as much these days, but that's what I would call an affinity group.
So, I was not part of a running group.
Well, you had the gym though, right? And so we share something in common. We have an affinity for one another because we have a shared interest. And those groups are great. And that's true of us as followers of Jesus. We have things in common as well, namely that we belong to Jesus, we believe in him, we're seeking to follow him. So on the one hand, I would say that we don't want to have a shallow understanding of a biblical community that says, well, we're all Christians, therefore we have community. But we also talked about how it's more than just Bible study. Mm-hmm. And so that might be the other side where we're just getting together to study the scriptures together. We actually are going to have a joining of these two things in order to have biblical community. And I wanted to read for us a verse from Jesus's teachings in John chapter 10, because I think he captures both these ingredients in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And I think there you have the seeds of biblical community.
How so? Because of the plural words he's using?
Well, a few things. So one, we do have something in common. We're sheep. So Jesus is the shepherd. We are all sheep. But also we're staying together. What's happening is we're learning together how to listen to his voice and hear his voice. That's not just something we do on our own. Mm. It's something we're supposed to do together as a flock. And then to follow him. Mm. And so biblical community, I think, will always have those two ideas. It's not just Christians being in the same room, although sometimes that's the case, but it's being connected to a group of believers, a church family, where you're learning together to listen for the voice of Jesus and follow him together. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think I would add another layer to that. I like that. You were talking about, hey, you have the deep knowing of one another, you know, community, hanging out with each other. And Bible study is purpose, to learn to hear His voice. And I think I would add the Holy Spirit in that biblical community is a supernatural community. Mm. And I mean that in every element of that word. A natural community, natural communities form all over the world at all times. And they will have likenesses as to why. Maybe it is an affinity, but often you'll see people be a community that have commonalities in culture. Yeah. Or commonalities in race, or you know, different commonalities in work and whatnot. And so, and I hear what you're saying, that there is within the church a commonality around Jesus. But even more than that, like you think of the book of Ephesians, when he is saying, hey, you actually have people coming from different races, different cultures, different walks of life. You had widows, you had married folks, you have children. And they are all, so from these natural or unnatural beginnings, right, a supernatural community is built, not around commonalities of culture, but around the commonality of Christ. And then biblically, what we're told is that here in this community now, that there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's no male or female. There's no, you know, rich and slave. It's just one in Christ, bound together by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul goes on to build the metaphor to say, we're being built together into a house for the Spirit of God to dwell. We are the new temple. And so biblical community has at its core, hey, we are centered around Jesus, but we want God to do something so beautiful in our coming together and so connected that is beyond us. That by the Holy Spirit, we're going to have grace for one another, where naturally I might want to pull away. Right. But because we both belong to Jesus, I'm going to serve and bless you, even though maybe our personalities wouldn't be in a natural world as compatible. But in a supernatural world, I have the Spirit driving us together. We're going to forgive, we're going to practice mercy, and all these things. And so just to paint this picture of what the Bible describes as biblical community is a beautiful imagery that we ought to be striving towards. And so, yes, that doesn't happen when we just sit in the room with other people listening to the Bible being taught or even studying the Bible. Nor does that just happen when we just share a meal together.
Right.
But you begin to combine both of those things around the person of Christ through the Holy Spirit's work within you, opening yourself up, saying, God, build us together into something rich. Something beautiful begins to be built out. And that is the practice of spiritual community. And it takes effort. It takes effort because you're going to have to give up time out of your week, right? You're probably going to have to say no to some natural community things that you have going on to make space in your life for the supernatural community. You're going to have to choose vulnerability. The Bible talks a lot about that, and we're going to get into that here in just a bit. You're going to have to put in work of learning to hear Christ's voice together, opening yourself up there. So this takes effort. It is an intentionality, which is why it's a spiritual practice. It's something you grow in to be a part of this. So I like that you kind of list out here for us in our notes four ways to assess or measure whether we have good biblical community right now. So if you're a believer and you're a part of a church, we can't just assume that, hey, I've got biblical community. Think about it. And so you give us four ways to measure whether we're actually a part of a deepening, growing biblical community. So let's walk through your four measurements. I like them. What was the first one you have?
So the first one here is that you're part of a church where you can be known and where you're growing to know others.
So that's not a shallow thing, right? So what do you mean by that? So elaborate for us, if you will.
Well, I think all of us have probably experienced, we've had church experiences where everything just sort of stays on the surface. Yeah. And it's very polite, it's very friendly. But that's different than being part of a community where you are really known. People know you for who you are. And that's why I love in our growth groups, one thing that we've been doing, and this is just something we've been doing in our own growth group, but each week we're having one person share their story, their faith story. Mm. Who are they? Where did they come from? How did God change their life? Where are they at now? And it's been so rich because, and we've been Now, we've been part of this group for a couple of years. And so these are folks that, in some cases, we've known for well over a year in growth group, not just known them mm-hmm. as part of the church, but meeting regularly, eating meals, and you hear someone's story, and suddenly you're joined to them at a whole new level. You know them in a way that you didn't know them before, even if it was a great connection prior to that. So I would say that that's what we want to be moving towards. And it's not that we're going to be perfect, but are we experiencing community where more and more we are known? People know who we are, and we're getting to know the true version of this person across the room from us.
I like that. I had somebody recently kind of comment how they felt like they knew me. And I kind of corrected them of saying, you know me because of I'm on the stage and you hear me tell stories. Right. And so, and I try very hard not to be a fake person on stage. It's a big value of mine. But we can't, I think in our world of social media, we can kind of fall into, hey, I know that person because I see their posts about things, or right. I see him on stage say things about other things. And that's not the same level of sitting in a living room, sharing life with one another, having a meal, you know, hearing all intricacies. That there's a level of knowing and being known that is so much deeper than what our world often settles for. Right, and kind of these curated stories of one another, but
yes.
even, and I know, like, we can, you can fake it through a growth group as well, which leads to our second kind of measure. First of all, the first measure of knowing and being known, asking yourself in your church, like, do people really know me? Mm-hmm. Do they know where I'm coming from? Do they know my family situation? Do I really know others? Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me before, kind of sadly, that they feel lonely in the church and that nobody knows them. And I often ask back, who do you know as well? Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street that right. you're also seeking. Hey, tell me about your family. Mm-hmm. And so one great measurement of biblical community is if you are in a small enough group where you can have and an intentional enough practice where you can have those conversations. But that leads to your second measurement. Not only are you knowing and being known, but and I think this is important to follow up with the second one.
And it's related. So the first one is to know and be known. The second is to be real with each other.
Yes.
And in some ways, this second one enables the first.
Sure.
Because part of knowing and being known is giving people access.
Yeah.
So I can know you in a very authentic way as much as you're willing to let me in.
Yeah.
And it can be the true version of you, but a partial, a curated version of you. That's one of the reasons why I love being in each other's homes. And I think it's just as important to be in each other's homes as it is to be on campus on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because there's something about when you're in someone else's home or they're in your home, you're opening up a side of your life that no one's ever going to see outside of that setting. So this second one is to be real with each other. And that's part of what is happening as we share our stories. Mm-hmm. We're striving to be real, not to give a great presentation, but to truly open up and let people see who we really are.
Man, and that takes such vulnerability. It takes, I often commend people for relational courage. I think the grace, if you have a grace-filled environment where the Holy Spirit is, it should enable that. I had a dear friend. We had our growth group meeting on Sunday night, and she showed up, and I could tell right away because I know her, like, she's upset. Something's going on. Something happened. And so I just kind of pulled her aside, say, hey, what's going on? And she shared with me, and she's kind of exhausted, and she'll probably be watching it. She'll crack up at this. But she said, now I got to turn it on so I can go to growth group. And I'm like, stop. You don't need to turn anything on. Like, go to growth group exactly like you are right now. But there, and this is a mature believer, but there is something inside of all of us that says, okay, I got to turn that part off. And so biblical community that we're striving for is not a put on my Sunday best.
Right.
Right. It is a, no, let me, how do we be real with one another? And if I'm struggling, I need to be able to share it. And I want somebody else in my group to be able to share it. And I want them to know me well enough, and I know them well enough, that we can come alongside of each other. And that's the ultimate goal. And so we talk about it a lot, and that I like the way that Paul says it in Romans. He says, love must be sincere. We might say that love must be real.
Yeah.
And fake love, if I'm loving just a version of you, that's not, the, and I'm only giving you a version of me, that's not sincere. You know, it's not real. So you got to be able to love the real stuff. So I love that. All right. So we got a third one.
This third one is be committed to God and each other, which sounds very basic, but if we think about it, we can do these first two, and God isn't really even
part of
the scenario. Yeah. So part of biblical community is a growing commitment on our part to God and a growing commitment to each other. That these are the people that God has put me with to share the journey of life, to be the church in Chula Vista. And like you said, there's a cost to it. So part of how you know that you're growing is the willingness to pay that cost. You're growing in community is you're growing in your commitment to God, to the relationship with God, and to your relationship. We can't do it with everybody. I you know, some people say Paseo is a small church. It's a big church to me, just based on my experience. But even if you would say it's a small church, these are things that we're going to, it's not going to be possible for us to do this with 300 other people. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is that, you know, find your community, find your growth group, find the few folks that you're going to be walking the journey of faith with, and then grow in your commitment to those folks and the Lord.
Which I love that. And I want to even caution when you're saying find.
Mm.
Because again, we go back, this is a supernatural community. So we're not even saying find those that you just naturally get along with. And I like... No, find a group of believers that are centered around Christ.
Yeah.
That's your one commonality that is needed. Commit to each other and to the Lord and say, for God's sake, I am going to open up my life to them, and I'm going to allow them to open up their lives to me, and we're going to push each other towards the Lord. And I'm going to grow in that commitment. I'm going to make space for this. I'm going to challenge for that. And that is like all of these spiritual disciplines. In order to say yes to this, I'm going to have to say no to other things. And that's part of the practice. That's part of why they're called disciplines, you know, that like anything else in our life, it comes at a cost, but it's a worthwhile, good cost. And so, and we all know that feeling of when something comes about and you have that hesitancy of I think I'd rather like watch the game tonight, or I'd rather, you know, do something else tonight. And you feel that hesitancy. And it's at that point where this third one comes to play of I've made a commitment. And I love that word commitment, because we talk about this a lot of the church is more than just coming to worship alongside of folks. It is folks that I am committed to, in commitment to the Lord. And so we are both seeking out Jesus. All right, which gets to our fourth one.
Right, because this also, all of these build and overlap.
Yeah.
So the fourth one is being committed to helping each other follow Jesus and become more like him. So yes, we're committed to the relationship, we're committed to God, but there's a specific commitment in that relationship. I want to follow Jesus, and I'm hoping you'll help me follow him and become more like him. And I'm willing to do the same for you.
Because without number four, we could be a Jewish synagogue, right?
Yeah.
Committed to God and to each other. You could be possibly one of these other religions that you say, hey, we are, and God is generic. Jesus, though, is very specific. And so our way of being committed to God, and this is what it means to be Christian, is that our understanding of God is singular, and it's through the fullness of his image that dwelt in Jesus Christ. And so we say, hey, we're going to follow Jesus because he is following God and teaching us what that looks like. And his spirit is what supernaturally binds us together. And so as we take a look at this practice with each other, this kind of is the capstone, is our whole goal of is helping each other follow Jesus more fully.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where we're headed.
And this is the church we want to be. We want to be a church where you can be known and you can know. You can be the real, true version of yourself. A church where you're growing in your commitment to God and to your fellow believers, and where you're being helped to follow Jesus and you're learning how to help others follow Jesus and become more like him. Those are four great overlays to think through. How am I experiencing community? Now, we didn't plan this, Shelton, as we were doing our growth group plans for the year. You know, just moment of honesty, we didn't plan to finish with community, but I'm so glad that we are, and maybe this was God's plan, because it really does set us up for where we think the Lord is taking us as a church in 2026.
Yeah, we're going to have a deepening of our focus on these smaller communities. We talk a lot about the 3D church. If you haven't been around, Andrew and I, that is language that you'll start hearing us use a lot more. And by that, we mean on Sunday morning gatherings in the large group is the first dimension. A second dimension are these smaller growth group communities, class type communities that you are building. And then a third dimension is a really small community of one to one as you have an older believer mentoring a younger believer. And we call that the 3D church, the full expression and experience of what it means to be church. And we need all of that centered in Jesus. And so as we get into the new year, we're really focusing on building up that second and third dimensions of that. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is we're looking at, well, there's a couple different ways. Yeah. First of all, we're going to be coming out with a church-wide Bible reading plan that will start January 1. This is really cool. I was contacted by one of our former college our high school students here. He's now up in college up in Oregon. Shout out to Owen. And he had been listening and heard us talk about this. And he said, man, I can't wait to start. And he wants to be reading the Bible with us. If you've never read through the Bible, or maybe you have, this is something we're going to be doing as a whole wide church. And then secondly, in conjunction with that, our Paseo Pathway podcast is going to change. As a whole church, we're centered around hearing Christ's voice through the church. Our podcast then, kind of in rhythm, is going to be talking more about our Bible reading plan every year. And this kind of the plan for us out. And if you didn't know, we have this Paseo podcast out available. It's on Apple, iTunes podcast. You can get, but you've done hard work. You've got it now on Spotify as well.
Yeah. And it's on YouTube.
And YouTube. You can get us all kinds of ways. But that is to help us to be centered together around the word. And then what is going to be a big change in our growth groups this next year as we get into?
We've got a few things that are going to be shifting. One is that the last few years we have done our growth groups in four shorter rounds. In 2026, we're going to do two longer blocks. Mm-hmm. And so we will still have breaks over the summer and over winter, but we're going to start in mid-January, and then we will have growth groups that will go through Memorial Day, basically, mm-hmm. the end of May. Now, that's going to work a little bit differently. Do you want to share about the first week?
Yeah, this is something that we're kind of excited about. I was talking to my growth group about it on Sunday night, and they love this idea. So while we're going to be meeting throughout the year, we are going to say, hey, every first week of the month, every first Wednesday of the month, that week, we're going to take off from growth groups. Growth groups won't meet that week. Instead, that Wednesday, we're going to gather here on Wednesday night for a Behold worship and prayer night, where all the growth groups come together, and we're just focused on worshiping the Lord together. We'll have some other ideas with all of that as we pray and connect together. So our rhythms then will be...
So that's one of the shifts, is that our rhythms are going to be a little bit different. Yeah. And so, you know, we're going to explore this together and learn and grow. A second shift that we're going to make is we won't be going through the practicing the way material. Instead, our growth groups are going to be focused on the text from our Sunday series in Matthew. And I'm excited about this because we're not going to listen to Shelton preach the text and then talk about his sermon. We're going to dig into the text first as growth groups, see what the Lord has to teach us through his Spirit, and then we will come together as one big family of faith on that following Sunday, and we'll look at the text together. Shelton or whoever's preaching that day will take us through the text that we've already spent time digging into. So I'm excited about that.
I've heard from several people that that's already kind of become their practice. They'll say, hey, I was reading this week and I was curious about where you know what this was or this was. So I'm excited about that as well. And again, this is biblical community, as together we are centered around hearing the Lord together, hearing his voice right. together. So we will be in scripture together as a community, and we'll be yeah. studying it.
And there is sort of a master plan behind this, that what we're really trying to do is build alignment across those three dimensions, so that what we're looking at on Sunday is also connected to what we're diving deeper into in our growth groups and our reading plan that we're doing as individuals. We're going to be reading the same text. This podcast specifically will be also going into highlighting text from the reading plan. So there's going to be some more information about that. I will have links to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Would encourage you guys to go ahead and subscribe so that you can begin getting those, and you'll be ready to hit the ground running in January. So any last thoughts from you, Shelton?
No, I've enjoyed these practices a lot. And yes. and I think it's been a great framework to build upon and say, hey, our ultimate goal for everyone is to be growing, right? And putting these practices in greater place, to be growing more and more in Christ-likeness. And certainly community is at the center of that. This is how we grow. We are shaped from the beginning. This is how God has designed it. And so we're excited to do that. Let us know along the way how we could be praying for you, how we can help you. If you have any questions, reach out to us, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.